Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, where I get to do the Junk Refund Radio Show, which I just love doing, and just talk about all things junk removal, which means how to get the junk out of your home and out of your garage and out of your office, but also out of your life. And that last part is a bigger deal than you might think. We try to help people just have a better, happier, funner life by decluttering their life, both, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever it might be. I am thrilled today to have a really good friend of mine, a guy named Rob Robinson, who is with Tapco Insurance and is my insurance guy that helps me with business liability insurance and other types of things for our business. And he is so good at what he does that I invited him to be on the show and just talk a little bit about what he does and how he does it, and how insurance can basically take away a lot of concerns that you might have in your life. So, Rob, how are you?
How about yourself? Thank you.
I'm doing great, thank you. Would you just explain to everybody, like in simple terms, just exactly what you do?
Yeah, so you mentioned Tapco. Tapco was one of the many companies I represent, but the name of my company is actually TWFG Insurance Services, and we're right down in downtown D.C. On Connecticut Avenue. I'm basically an insurance agency slash broker, and mostly business insurance, providing local businesses with coverage. And I do also a lot of property insurance, homeowner policy, landlord, that sort of thing. And I've been doing it for, this year is now my 33rd year doing this. So I've been doing it for a little while.
Good for you. TWFG, is that an acronym? Does it stand for something? Is there a name behind that?
It is, yeah. Thank you for asking. It stands for the Woodlands Financial Group, which was started by a guy and a friend of mine out of Texas, out of the Woodlands, Texas, which is just north of Houston. His name is Gordy Bunch. So he started that about maybe 14 or 15, or no, 20 years ago, actually, he started it. And I joined this is my 13th year with TWFG Insurance. Prior to that, I was an Allstate agent. I owned an Allstate agency right in Glover Park in D.C. I did that for 16 years, and before that, I was a manager with Allstate. When I was with Allstate, I was kind of frustrated with the fact that I could only offer Allstate, and so I didn't have a product for a customer. I ended up referring it to someone else, you know, who was not a non-Allstate agent. And so I got a little tired of doing that, and I ended up becoming independent. Now I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of companies, and, you know, can pretty much assist just about everybody with their insurance needs.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you also sell life insurance?
I do not. Yeah, that's one thing I don't do. It's just a specialized. Okay. I don't do that. I used to do it many years ago, but it's very specialized, and I'm not set up for that.
I used to do it many years ago, and I was a stockbroker as well as licensed in insurance. I didn't think you did. I wasn't sure, but I just wanted to double check. Well, first of all, congratulations on 33 years of doing this.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I appreciate
That's a little unusual to find somebody that has that much longevity in the same type of career. That's a little rare, and it says something about your ability to stick to it and keep doing the right thing, I guess, and keep helping people in this niche. You obviously know what you're doing, and I think that's great. Can you give me just, like, if someone says, okay, I'm a business owner, why do I need insurance? I know that's a very vague question, but what's some of the answers to that?
Yeah, so as a business owner, of course, you want to protect your business and yourself, the assets of the business and your personal assets. So you take out insurance for instance, general liability in the event, you know, someone sues you, I don't know, a slip and fall incident outside your convenience store or somebody gets hurt while in your establishment. I had a customer in someone's restaurant and a ceiling tile fell off, you know, and hit the customer while they were sitting at the table dining. Of course, the business owner was responsible. I'm literally hundreds of examples of those kinds of claims. But
I'd love these stories. Yeah, feel free to tell as many as you want.
Yeah. And so you've got the general liability coverage, and you also have coverage which you can include for your, you know, your, if you own the property or if you, or, you know, your machinery and equipment inside, if you have a restaurant, for instance, your furniture, your cooking, your stoves, your hoods, you know, everything inside, basically, that needs to be covered. It needs to be covered for the correct amount. You know, a lot of times people try to, you know, look for lower pricing, so they kind of skimp on coverage. And I just had someone very recently had coverage on the restaurant, and despite me saying you need more coverage for the interior of your restaurant, they went with a lower amount of coverage. And there was a fire overnight. And when he came back in the morning, the fire department put everything out. The place was completely trashed. And I was the guy that had explained to him that he had X amount of coverage, but he should have had this amount of coverage, you know. So he was kicking himself because he's out of pocket all that money. So the other type of thing, if you have employees, for instance, you definitely need to have workers' compensation insurance, which covers your employees. In the event they're injured, it pays for their medical expenses, hospitalization, rehabilitation, their lost wages. But also, just as important, it covers you as a business owner, because when you have the workers' comp, it precludes your employees from suing you if they get injured on the job. The workers' comp, just having that policy by itself, basically prevents them from suing you as a business owner, which, you know, saves you a lot of headaches. Then depending on the type of business you have, you may need additional coverage, such as professional liability coverage if you're like an attorney or if you're in the medical, a doctor, a consultant, anything where your advice is what people are relying on. And then if you give them the wrong advice or you something happens because of your advice, unintended, the professional liability policy pays for that. And there's quite a few different policies, that businesses can buy. Cyber liability insurance is another one. It's a big one right now, as, people get it hacked and the ransomware and all those things associated with computers and data. That's a big one right now. So, it's one of those things where I've been doing it so long because I really like to do it. I mean, people are like, wow.
Well, that's good. That's really good.
it's a part. I like educating people, too, because years and years ago, I did a stint as a trainer for Allstate, and I really enjoyed that. And I was like, man, I missed my calling. I should have gone into, teaching or something, but this kind of involved that as well. Yeah, plus the insurance, yeah.
I think, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, first of all, I Warren Buffett goes around the country, or used to do this, doesn't do it anymore, but he used to go around the country and he would speak to college students. And they'd ask him advice of, what should I do with my career? And he summed it up in four words. He said, do what you love.
Yeah.
Right? Do what you love.
Yeah.
And you, for 33 years, you've been doing something that you have obviously a passion for, and you're good at it, and you stuck with it. And the longer you stick with it, the more you know, the better you get, you know, et cetera. I think it's a wonderful thing to just talk to somebody who for 33 years has been in the same business, same field. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think it's a little bit rare. I don't know that a lot of people do that, right? But especially in the sales business, you can sell for lots of different things and represent different companies and whatever, but in different industries. But you have just stuck with what you're good at, and I think you kind of separate yourself from the crowd as you continue to do what you do. I think it's really remarkable. We've gone back a few years that I've known you, and you've helped me with different types of coverage and stuff. And I had in my phone, for some reason, I guess originally I put TAPCO in there, maybe because that's who a policy got written with through you. But
yeah, I believe so. That's right. That's right.
But I appreciate you filling me in that it's the Woodlands Financial Group, and I think that's great. What in your business are there like one or two of the main mistakes that people make that business owners just they don't get off their butt and get something done that ends up coming back and beating them overhead? Is it like liability insurance? Is it insurance for their property or whatever? Is there a general mistake that people tend to make that you want to point out?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I want to mention is, I mean, a lot of people view insurance as, you know, as a cost of doing business, as an expense. And you know, it is, because you get to write it off at the end of the year, which is a wonderful thing. You know? But a lot of times folks just kind of gloss over it, and they just want to, you know, and I have to make sure that they're covered properly, obviously, and I ask questions and things. But a lot of times people are just, there's, you know, kind of like, ah, it's insurance, it's boring. I want to make sure I have insurance, and then I'm done with it, you know. But there are all these little nuances and things that can pop up. And, you know, for folks out there, I mean, definitely ask your agent or your broker, you know, if you're wondering about something, if something's covered or not, because, you know, obviously the worst time to learn about something is when it's after a claim happens and it's not covered, you know.
Right.
But that's the big one. And then the other thing is underinsuring. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of times people don't realize how much stuff costs, especially with inflation these days and the price of materials and labor, everything going up, 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 which is tied directly to this, the turmoil that we're experiencing right now in the property and casualty business, where rates have gone up, I mean, significantly over the last few years. And there are several reasons for that happening. Most people are aware of, you know, California and the wildfires in Florida with hurricanes and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, around the rest of the country, rates are going up exponentially, almost, it seems, because of several reasons. One of the reasons is because during COVID, a lot of people basically, you know, worked remotely, stayed home and worked out of their homes. And most states, insurance is regulated by individual states, most states prevented insurance companies from raising their rates just to keep rates artificially low, in a sense. And so insurance companies, obviously, with inflation and the cost of everything going up, they're kind of behind the eight ball right now, because they had been forced to keep their rates low, but now they're trying to catch up. They're trying to catch up, but also you have all these other things that are happening at the exact same time. I mentioned inflation and material shortages and labor shortages. You have reinsurance costs, which have gone up also significantly over the past few years. A lot of people don't know this, but insurance companies generally buy reinsurance to insure themselves in the event, you know, there's a major catastrophe or some major loss occurs, and you know, they've got to have a backup, you know. And so they rely on that. Those costs have gone way, way, way up. And then, you know, you have your typical things that are happening, you know, your natural disasters, which keep occurring. And people are still tending to move to places where natural disasters happen. You know, it's not that the natural disasters have increased at all. It's just there's more people living in those areas now, you know, more people to file claims. And of course, you've got these nuclear jury verdicts. You know, somebody gets hurt, and then the jury awards a massive amount of money, which generally is paid for by an insurance company somewhere, somehow. You know, so yeah, you've got a combination of elements, which right now is really raising rates across the country, and I mean, most people are feeling it. You know, it, me too. You know, I've got to add insurance for everybody else.
No, that's really well said. It seems to me that the insurance companies are kind of in the same boat that the landlords were in when COVID came, and the landlords could not evict anybody. They couldn't take any court to get back rent. They still had to make their payments to the banks, right? But basically, because of COVID, this is just my perception, basically because of COVID, the law swung in favor of the individuals, protecting the individuals, right?
Right.
And
right.
The landlords and the owners of the buildings and the insurance companies and the business folks, let's just say, I guess just had to suck it up for a few years and try to survive, right? And now behind, with COVID kind of the main part of it, so to speak, behind us, now they're playing catch-up, just like you just explained with the insurance companies. Do you think I've got that correct?
Yeah, that's it. You hit it. Right on, you hit the nail on the head.
I mean, you can have, a landlord can take somebody to court. They can sue for their back rent. You know, they are hustling to get back to the position or try to get ahead of the position that they were in, let's say, 5 years ago. And the law just swung in favor of the individuals. And the business owners and the businesses basically had to suck it up and try to survive. Right? Is that the way you say it?
Pretty much, yeah. And then in addition to that, with insurance companies, they are required by state laws to have a certain amount of surplus in the till, you know, in the event something does happen, you know, something major happens. So they, by law, they have to replenish that those funds, you know, if they're, you know, or keep those funds at a certain percentage, you know. So they're hemmed in a way, you know, if they want to survive. And, you know, and it's a money making business, obviously. I mean, a lot of people dislike insurance companies, and I sometimes get it, and I totally understand, you know. Especially with companies that deny claims and make, you know, and then you have to take them to, you know, you've got to either mediate with them, or you have to take them to the you know, the state insurance department or something to get something done or paid. But generally, you're bigger insurance companies, the, you know, the name brands, they, you know, they pay, you know, if they owe something, they pay. A lot of times people are not happy with what is paid, you know, but yeah, in general, the well-known companies pay. That's how they got so big, because they, you know, they have this giant pot of money that they're basically in charge of, and they've got to be careful how they pay it out and to who they pay it out, you know, because you've got lots of unscrupulous people also who are, you know, you know, trying to dip their hands in the pot and take money out for, you know, fraudulent claims, padded claims. There's a whole bunch of things, you know, all that stuff that still goes on.
Well, this is great. We should be charging our listeners a fee to get this free education from you. That's what.
No, I love doing it, man. I love it. I love absolutely doing it.
Love it. This is great. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm talking to Rob Robinson. He's my insurance guy for my business. He's a great guy, and we've been talking about kind of some of the basics of the insurance business. He's with the Woodlands Financial Group in Washington, D.C. TWFG is the acronym, Insurance Services. We're going to take a break for about a minute, do a quick commercial. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to Rob a little bit more about kind of his personal style of how he does business, because this is one of the best customer helpers / salespeople that I've seen in 40 years. So I'm going to talk to him a little bit about that in just a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland, the great area, talking to my good friend and a real pro, Rob Robinson, who is with TWFG Insurance Services. It represents the Woodlands Financial Group in Washington, D.C. He does business insurance, liability insurance, a bunch of other types of insurance for businesses, and he's been very helpful to me, and he's just been terrific. Rob, I want to do two things. One of them is I'm very interested in these stories that you have over the years, like the tile that fell on the guy in the restaurant, just to illustrate the risks that can be out right there. I'd love to hear some more of those stories. But right now, I mentioned that just to kind of put that thought in your head as we keep talking in the show here. I'm sure you have a boatload of them that you can pull up real quick. But I want to talk about how you do what you do when you work with people, because when I came out of college many years ago and went to work for one of the major stock brokerage firms in the country, it was all about how many people do you call every day on the phone, and it was all about telling them about our products, right?
Right.
And one of the top stock brokers in Washington, D.C. that I got to know many years later was a former military guy who basically said, your job as a financial consultant is to help people solve problems.
Right.
And that's a completely opposite approach to what I was taught, but it made all the sense in the world. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is just the demeanor, the way that you work with customers, me included, is such a refreshing, wonderful way. Folks, he's never pushing. He's never working his agenda. He's always available. I can call him, you know, three times in a month, and I'll get responses quickly. I can call him once in 3 years, and I'll get the same response time. But he's like the good neighbor. He's always there, right? Like State Farm. Sorry, I should have given you an Allstate reference. But tell people a little bit about kind of how you go about this profession in a way that I think makes people want to come to you, which is the best scenario you can have as a sales rep, in my opinion.
Yeah. So it's funny. I don't feel like I'm selling anything, to tell you the truth. I'm just trying to really help somebody solve a particular situation or problem. You know, so if they've got a business, I ask the type of business that they have. I mean, what are some of the things that they are worried about at night, you know, just before, you know, when they're trying to sleep, you know, what drives you, what keeps you awake, basically, or, you know, in terms of somebody, you know, getting injured on your property or somebody suing you because you gave the wrong advice, or, you know, what are the things that really bother you or worry you about this type, you know, of business that you have? I do like a consultative approach, you know, then I say, okay, well, maybe we need this, maybe we need that. I don't know, you know, and then I ask them if they've had that type of coverage before. And, you know, if not, I explain to them what it does and give them several options. And, you know, everything these days is by email or phone. It's rare that I see somebody in person anymore. I used to love that, to tell you the truth, because I got to sit with somebody or visit them at their business, and see what they literally do, you know, when I'm there. But, you know, you have a lot of absentee owners and absentee property owners and that sort of thing, and everything is by email or phone, which is fine. Yeah. But I still try to get the information so I can, you know, provide them with the correct solution, you know, or at least some options, and then they can make the decision. I try never to make the decision for somebody. I always, you know, try to toss the ball in their court and, you know, give them at least two options and, you know, one a basic option, maybe one a little bit better, and sometimes a third option, some really, you know, something over the top or something with all the bells and whistles if they really want that, you know. So, yeah, I'm fortunate because I've been doing this so long that I even when I started, I didn't really prospect a whole lot. I just mentioned things to a few people, and before you know it, it snowballed, and I just got, you know, people calling me, which, you know, which is a wonderful way to, you know, to have a business.
That's maybe the best approach, I guess, so to speak, or the best way to have it happen. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm fortunate right now. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, we're fortunate in that sometimes we're just so busy that I have to farm it out to other agents who are colleagues of mine or friends of mine, you know, because I want the customer taken care of right away. You know, I just can't get to it, and I know I won't be able to get to that customer, you know. But, you know, for the most part, I try to, yes, I have a very small staff, and my wife also works with me. So,
good for her.
You know, it's a family thing here. It wasn't always like this. When I was with Allstate, I had a very large staff and a big office and, you know, people working for me. And most of the time they took the calls and they handled a lot of the day to day. But, you know, I got older. I wanted to specialize and I sold the Allstate agency and went independent because this is what I like to do. You know, and I like to deal with the business owners directly and, you know, folks who own properties and that sort of thing. We really don't focus too much on like the auto insurance and, you know, that sort of thing. It's, you know, there's companies out there that are very good at that. You know, I'm more of like, I don't know, like a specialist, like, you know, if you're a doctor and you specialize in, you know, you're an orthopedic surgeon or something like that, you know, that's kind of me, but I'm more in terms of, you know, the insurance, the business insurance kind of specialist.
What professions need the greatest amount of insurance? You mentioned lawyers, you mentioned doctors, business owners. I think of surgeons in the medical profession obviously have to protect their backside.
Yeah.
Any particular professions that got to make sure they're covered just because of the nature of the business they're in?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, of course, you know, you've got your normal businesses, you know, your restaurants, your retail stores, that sort of thing, your offices, buildings, that. But really the professionals are the ones who have the most to lose. You know, they spent a lifetime getting educated and, you know, building a practice. It could be an architect, an engineer, an attorney, a surgeon. I mean, you have these folks who are really invested in what they do. And then if they don't have the proper coverage, errors and omissions or professional liability or malpractice, you know, it could ruin them. I mean, literally, you know, all that hard work down the tubes, man. You know, one or two people. And, you know, this area is full of those folks, you know. It's just pretty much everywhere you look, you know.
No, that's right. Yeah, you're in a mecca of those folks here. That is correct.
Right.
I want to give you a few minutes just to give me some more examples. I'm calling them war stories, but give me some more examples of things that you've seen happen where people were either underinsured or they sent you, you know, a dozen Georgetown cupcakes to say, thank you, Rob, for covering
Those are my favorite, by the way. Great place. I'll throw a couple out at you. Some of them are pretty common, but I got a call from a customer. This is when my office was in Glover Park years back. I got a call from a customer who lived not too far from my office and said, a tree just fell on my house. Can you come and take a look and tell me what to do? So I literally walked around the corner and I looked and there was this massive tree. I mean, this tree must have been, you know, 400 or 500 years old, this thing. And it literally sliced the house in two. It was a Georgetown row house. It was sliced in two. I'm like, oh my God, was anybody inside? Thank God nobody was inside. Nobody was hurt, you know? But that was, oh my God. Of course, the poor people can't live in the house now, you know, so they, you know, their insurance gave them, you know, money to live in a hotel. And that house, you know, right away, the tree surgeons come and they're cutting everything down and removing the tree and everything. But it was a little more than a year before that house was put back together because of so much damage that occurred. So that's just a regular homeowner policy, you know.
Homeowner policy. Is there like a clause in there that says, you know, if a tree falls on you or an act of God, or I don't know what you'd call it. Is that a little sub clause in there that protects them from a tree falling over? Or is that just generally covered in a homeowner's policy?
Yeah, it's generally covered. So okay. That wasn't the issue. It was just the whole, you know, the ordeal of these poor folks having, you know, and I was right around the corner. So if they needed me, they can just pop in the office or I'd walk over there, sort of thing. I had a, here's another incident where somebody was underinsured. They were, and this was from a car insurance accident, actually. They were driving a car. I happened to insure their vehicle, and they had what is called an umbrella policy. And they, you know, unintentionally, of course, ran a FedEx truck off the road. And the truck went off the side of the road and flipped, and all the stuff was all over the place inside the FedEx truck. And the truck was basically destroyed. The driver was injured. And they were sued, of course. They were sued by the driver, and they were sued by FedEx. Their auto policy paid out the limit, which was, I believe it was $100,000 for, you know, the for the injury, basically. And they had an umbrella policy. So after that, their auto insurance limits were exhausted. The umbrella policy picked up, and that paid out exactly $1 million because of all the damage that was done to the tractor trailer and all the stuff inside the truck. Which somebody, I can't imagine, but somebody had to probably take inventory of all that and add up the value of all that stuff. And I don't know how FedEx figured out how to, how to come up with a value, but I do remember that was one where the limit was paid out on the umbrella policy, and that's unusual. They're, you know, umbrella policies in general are pretty inexpensive because they're rarely used, you know, but in this case it was used. So yeah, that's another one.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What the auto policy was. That's amazing.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize also if you have coverage and you utilize the entire umbrella policy limit, I mean, if they're looking for more money, you know, you're going to end up coming out of pocket, you know, and they can attach a lien on your house. They can garnish your wages. There's a, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that claims adjusters and attorneys for insurance companies, they'll do to get paid back, basically. So, and I used to be one of those when I first started my career with Allstate way back in 92 when that hurricane Andrew came through down in Florida. And I was, I don't want to say I was fortunate enough, but I was one of those people who was sent down to Florida to go look at the mess and try to help with the claims and talk about devastation. Oh, my God. It, you know, Route 1 down at Southern Florida is kind of elevated for the most part. You know, maybe it's not elevated much, but maybe 5 to 10 feet above the surrounding areas in some places. And I was driving on the highway, looking out, and all you could see was just it looked like a total like a war zone, basically. You know, all the trees were removed and burned, all the houses were being cleaned up and you know, torn down and taken away, and just devastation. That's one of the things that left a huge impression on me about the power of, you know, insurance and what it can do and help restore people, you know, because, you know, at that moment, you're like, oh, my God, I'm actually doing something useful. I'm actually helping people, you know, try to get back to, you know, some sort of normal state.
What's the largest claim you've ever seen awarded in your 33 years?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's, I mean, definitely that one I just mentioned to you about the guy's umbrella policy. That's a personal insurance policy, though. I've had a director's and officer's policy pay out a few years back for a nonprofit where I'm trying to remember if it was a shareholder or if it was a an investor who sued the board of directors and won. And that was a $2 million umbrella policy. I don't know if it paid out the full $2 million because I don't get the specifics on the actual payout, but it was a big claim. What they were asking for was much higher than the actual policy limit. So they might've even settled for the policy limit, but, so these things happen. Yeah.
That's amazing. Next couple of minutes here, is there anything, it's been really fun just talking to you here and kind of opening up our eyes to what needs to be done. Is there anything you want to talk about regarding what you offer to people that I haven't asked you about or just anything else you want to talk about on the show?
Yeah, no, that's very nice of you. Yeah, no, I do, you know, mostly business insurance, but I also do, you know, if you've got a home, you know, a landlord, a property, you know, a rental property, short-term, long-term, you know, if you're a consultant, we don't do transportation. That's the one thing we don't do because it's very specialized. So if you own like a, you know, limousine company, or if you, you know, own vans, you know, where you transport people, anything that's, you know, livery oriented, well, I just don't do that because it's specialized. And I have a friend who is in D.C. as well, who that's what they do. So I just pretty much refer everybody to that agent. But yeah, no, we're generally, you know, we do restaurants, we do quite a few restaurants, actually. Apartment buildings, condo associations, you know, we're a little bit of everything, but those are probably the three, the restaurants, apartment buildings, condo associations. Those are the three that we do the most. You know, and of course a lot of consultants and, you know, mom and pops and single family or single person entities, that sort of thing.
How do people get a hold of you? If they want to talk to you more, how should they contact you?
Thank you. The phone number is 202-684-9898, or you can just email me directly. It's Rob, so my first name, R-O-B like Bravo, at TWFG.com, T like Thomas, W like William, F like Frank, G like George.com. And I'll be happy to assist anybody who's looking for, you know, advice or a consultation, or I don't charge for the advice, by the way. we're looking for information on insurance.
Yeah. And contrary to my 93-year-old mother, who when I call her and I say, "Hey, Mom, I got a question. I need some advice," she'll jump in real quick and she'll say, "The advice you're about to get is worth the price you paid." I'm here to tell you, folks, Rob's advice, kind of like my mom, it's worth a lot more than what you'll pay. And tell them again, Rob, one more time. Give them your phone number and give them your email address.
Yeah, sure. The phone number is 202-684-9898. And my email address, which is direct to me, it's rob@twfg.com.
You have been terrific. I really appreciate having you on the show. Would love to have you come back here in the future and kind of give us an update as well. But thank you for all you do for me. And you just have, folks, he just has the right demeanor, as you can tell from just listening to the way he answers these questions. This is a guy that's easy to talk to and has your best interest at heart, and he knows what he's doing. Give him a call. If you have any of these insurance needs, you can call me and thank me later, because I'm giving you some great advice here to call Rob. Well, Rob, thanks again for everything. It's great having you on the show. We'll see you soon. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks for everything you've done for me and for my business over the years.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. And continued success. I love the business that you have. It's so unique. It's you should franchise it.
Well, I love the insurance guy that I have. Maybe we'll franchise that at the same time. We'll see.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day. Yep. Thank you very much for joining us on the show. Folks, we're going to take a quick
break. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Rob. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. This is Alan Cook. I'm your host, and we have a lot of fun. We'll come back and tell you some of the stuff going on in the junk removal world here in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, this is Alan Cook. Welcome back to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com, coming to you live from Bethesda, Maryland. I just had a good friend of mine, Rob Robinson, who is with TWFG, like Tiger Woods for golf. There you go. TWFG Insurance Services. It's the Woodlands Financial Group. And he is very, very good at what he does and has a terrific demeanor about him that makes customers feel comfortable and at ease around him as he helps you with your insurance needs. Been great having him on. Love to have him come back. He's been in the business 33 years, and it's just been fun to talk to him a little bit about what he does. In the junk removal business, there's always stories going on of what we do and how we do it. Let me just tell you a couple things. One thing you should be aware of is if you call into this show during the show, which is Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, and just leave your name and number with our wonderful producer, Don, he will forward me that information after the show, and I will send you a link that allows you to get a pickup truck of junk removal that is normally $229. You'll get it for $79, and you can buy two of them. That's a big savings, and it's only available on this show by calling into the show. It's a radio show special. So the number that you call, 888-627-6008, and you'll talk to Don and just give him your name and number, and you can get two of these vouchers for junk removal. These vouchers, the radio vouchers, I call them, are $79 a piece. The next best price you can get for the same amount of junk removal is through Groupon. If you go to Groupon in the Washington, D.C. area, you'll see us on Groupon, and you'll see 470 reviews on there, and you'll see a score of 4.83, I think it is, out of 5, which translates into a 97% customer satisfaction rating. They told me at Groupon recently that is the highest rating in the country for junk removal businesses, and it is one of the highest ratings in the country for any business. Apparently, if you get a 4.5, which puts you at 90%, you're in the top of your class. We're at 4.82, 4.83, somewhere in there, with 470-plus reviews. So we stand by those reviews, and we're proud. What I'm trying to do is get it to 98%, because then I can kind of go to GEICO and say, hey, you guys are good at 97, but we just passed you, right? That's what I'm trying to do. But that's going to take a while, probably get that extra percentage point up there. But anyway, go to Groupon.com and then look up 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, and you'll see all these reviews, and you can let your friends and neighbors tell you what we're all about. Some things that have happened lately. We're doing a special thing, and I think it's a great idea for a business where you're always trying to increase sales and stuff like that. Take advantage of the holidays that are out there. This month, you've got Easter on March 31st, and you've got St. Patrick's Day on March 17th. So we are doing a St. Patrick's Day special where if you purchase a truckload of junk removal, this is like a box truck that you'd rent from Home Depot. It's like a 12-foot long box truck. We charge $695 to fill up one of those. A lot of companies will charge you $800 or $900 for that same amount of stuff. If you buy one of those in the month of March, we send you a dozen Georgetown cupcakes, which are world famous for just how good they are. They're here in Washington, D.C., and they ship all over the country. So if you buy a truckload of junk removal, you get 12 St. Patrick's Day Georgetown cupcakes shipped to your door. And after St. Patrick's Day, we'll just ship you the Easter cupcakes through the end of March. So we're giving away cupcakes like they're going out of style, and it's really a lot of fun. So just keep that in mind. And in fact, if you want to look at the offer for that, you can go to 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com/cupcake/, and you'll see the link on our website, and you'll see a picture of the cupcakes. So that's one of the things we're doing. We simply try to make doing business with us fun. We want people to enjoy the time they spend with us, and we want them to have a smile on their face when we're done, not only because of what we did, but just by trying to do something a little extra for people to help make their life awesome. In the junk removal business, let me tell you a couple of things we sold recently. We sold what I think is still, it's an original painting. I'm going to call it an oil painting. It was a painting that we got from a home that we cleaned out recently in Potomac, where a couple, a middle-aged slash young couple, are separating, going through a divorce, and we were asked to go in and just clean out all this stuff. One of the things that we sold recently was one of these paintings that a gentleman from Manassas, Virginia, drove about an hour to pick up, thrilled because he's going to put it in his daughter's bedroom, and he's looking for some paintings to put on the wall. They don't have to be nice oil paintings. He's just looking for cool stuff, and she happened to see this, I guess, on the web when we were advertising it and brought it to the parents' attention, and this guy loves his daughter. He drove an hour to pick it up and get it for her and go back. He also said, hey, by the way, and he was thrilled. He was just thrilled to get it. He said, by the way, let me know if you get more paintings. I want more artwork and paintings to put on her wall, especially larger ones. Let me know if you get some. Well, I got two more this morning from doing a job in Springfield, Virginia, that that I'm going to shoot to him photos of, you know, as soon as I'm off the radio show here. A shout out also, and I'm trying to get these guys to come on the show because they have a great story. There's an app out there called Upside, UPSIDE. It's a free app. You download it on your phone, and the next time you go to buy gas, you just, you know, look up the gas offers that are in your area, and it'll show you various stations that are participating in this, and you go to buy gas from them, and you will get cash back in the Upside app. It's also good at some restaurants. A lot of times when you buy gas, you'll get 5 cents, 10 cents, sometimes 20, sometimes 30 cents a gallon off, especially if you do, you know, introductory offer and stuff like that. But you can start to get some money back on stuff you're purchasing anyway, which is gasoline, if you're like me with a junk removal business. Or you go out and buy lunch or whatever as you're out on the road. There is a company called And Pizza, but it's not A-N-D Pizza. It's is it the ampersign that, you know, the and sign that's on your keyboard and then the word pizza right after it. I did not know these guys existed in the Washington, D.C. area until about 2 months ago. And on the Upside app, if you go to And Pizza and buy any of their great, the kind of oblong-shaped pizzas or oval-shaped pizzas, you buy anything there, you will get 25 to 39% cash back. So I take our guys, you know, I'll be in a truck with one of our guys, and we'll go get pizza for lunch. And a couple of days ago, I did it in Arlington at this place, and the offer was 39% cash back. And you simply claim the offer on your phone. Then you go in and buy it. Then you pay for it with your credit or debit card. And then you just tell the app, okay, I'm done. I just paid for it. And then the app tells you, okay, you're done. We've got it. And with 2 to 4 days later, 39% of, let's say, $30 pops into your account. That's about 12 bucks. So in the month of February, I made $100 on this app. Hasn't cost me anything, just buying gas and buying food like I normally do. And some of these offers are as high as 39% cash back. I took one guy to get more pizza today in Springfield, Virginia at the And Pizza place, and we got 24% cash back. So it can vary from location to location, but many times I'm in the 30% range at this one particular pizza place that has great food, great drinks. I mean, it's great food. Even if I got no cash back, I would go there because they do a great job. But here I am every day pretty much when I go on my phone, the amount of money I have in my Upside app has gone up. Now, it'd be nice if that was the case in your bank account, right? Every time you look at it, it's higher, right? In the Upside app, every time you look at it, it's higher. And then you can go in and cash out of it whenever you want to. You can have them send money to PayPal for you. You can turn it into a boatload of different gift cards. My plan, if I make 100 bucks a month doing this, which I could have been making for years, but my plan, if I make 100 bucks a month doing this, I'll have $1,200 in there at the end of the year. I send that over to PayPal, and then I buy a cruise for myself, and I go on a cruise for a week. And Upside pays for the whole cruise, right? Just because I bought gas. And so anyway, keep that in mind because it is a great thing that you can use money in the meantime, whether you're, when you're out, everybody's buying gas, I guess, except the Tesla folks that don't need to anymore, right? But if you're buying gasoline, if you're eating at restaurants, check the Upside app first and see if some of the restaurants in your area are offering cash back. I love to get a Cobb salad at Chick-fil-A. I get 5% cash back now anytime I get a Cobb salad at Chick-fil-A. And it's very easy. You'll put in the app, you'll put in your credit card information or your debit card information so that when you pay with that particular card, they know that this is legit, it's you, and et cetera. It's just a great way to make some money on the side because you're buying stuff that you're buying anyway. And I'm now up to about $125 I've made just in a month and a half. And I'm only a couple of dollars away from being in the top 5% of all Upside users. So it's quite an amazing thing. And I'm having a blast doing it. And again, it's, my goal is kind of $100 a month in cash back, and I'll have $1,200 at the end of the year, and then I'll do the radio show from a cruise ship somewhere next year sometime. But I'm excited about that. So that's kind of cool. So there's a tip for you. And Pizza, I think they're mostly in the Washington, D.C. area, but check those guys out and go in there with the Upside app on your phone, and you can thank me later because you're going to get up to 39% cash back just for buying some pizza. And I'm telling you, the pizza is good without the cash back. It's fabulous with the cash back. So take it from a guy who knows. That's a good thing to do. We've got cool things happening. We booked a job in Maine. There's two Portlands in the area. A year ago, I was interested in a girl that was out in Portland, Oregon, and I was flying out to see her on my Frontier Airlines Go Wild Pass, and the round-trip airfare was $50. That's $50 round-trip to Portland, Oregon, and I had a blast for about 4 months. We just booked a job 30 minutes north of Portland, Maine. Frontier Airlines also flies to Portland, Maine, and we're going up there the last week of April to help clean out a home for a wonderful lady whose her husband is, I can't remember his profession, but he collected a lot of things. He got a lot of tools and a lot of wire and a lot of stuff, metal and some other stuff. So we're going up there to clean that out. So we're headed to Maine. Once we do that job, we can legitimately say we've done jobs from Maine to Florida, from Illinois to Texas, and from Seattle to California, which is true, and a bunch of places in between. We also just booked a job starting the first part of next week outside of Chicago, Illinois, about 45 minutes outside of Chicago, going there to help clean out a house that some people need some help with. These people in Maine and Chicago don't know that because of the purchase they made this month, they're going to get a dozen cupcakes. They're going to love that move. So we'll surprise them with that. I was in Beverly Hills, California, 2 weeks ago doing a job, which went really well. We loaded up a bunch of stuff. If I say we, I just went by myself because it was not that big of a job. Rented a pickup truck, loaded it up three or four times, drove it literally half a mile down the street to Goodwill, and the Goodwill in that neighborhood took just about anything. And I just basically donated all of it there. They took it. The lady was thrilled to get the donation slips. And it was literally drive down the street half a mile, empty the truck for free, drive back and get paid to load it again. Beverly Hills, California. I got to do a shout out to Jim Carrey, the actor who I would love to get on the show sometime, because while I was in California a few weeks ago, I went to Mulholland Drive above Beverly Hills overlooking Los Angeles because Jim Carrey went there back in the early 1990s and visualized himself being a successful actor. And he looked out over the area at night. He went up there every night. He went up to Mulholland Drive. That's where he got his inspiration. And he looked out over the valley, basically, and he said to himself, I don't have what those people have, but one of these days I will. And that's my dream. It's only a matter of time. And he takes out a check, and he writes himself a check for $10 million. And he gives himself 4 years. he dates the check Thanksgiving 1995. This was in 1991. And then he doesn't just, you know, sit back and wait for God to make it happen. He goes out and does everything he needs to do to, you know, hustle and make a name for himself. But he carried that check with him everywhere he went for 4 years, and it basically disintegrated or started to disintegrate in his wallet. He was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno one time. He took the check out and he handed it to Jay, and Jay, just by grabbing it, holding it, almost tore it in half. And Jim said, no, be careful, that's really important to me. So he gave himself 4 years to make $10 million. Just before Thanksgiving of 1995, he's notified that he's going to be paid $10 million for being in the movie Dumb and Dumber. So in 1997, he tells that story on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And Oprah, after 25 years of doing shows, right? Now do the math. You got, let's say, 50 weeks in a year, right? 50 times 25 is about 1,250 shows, if I did the math right. And she is, and you can think of all the guests she has on those shows. If she has, you know, three guests per show, she has 4,000 guests on the show. Out of all those guests, Jim Carrey's appearance in 1997 was one of the most motivational and inspirational visits of her show career. And she highlighted it when she looked back on the 25 years. So if you want to have some fun, go to my Facebook page, Alan J, the initial J, Alan J. Cook, and you can see me doing a live video from Mulholland Drive about 3 weeks ago telling the Jim Carrey story. And yes, as you might imagine, I took a check and wrote it out to myself, dated it Christmas of 2024, and I'm now working on hitting that goal, which is an aggressive goal for this year. It's not $10 million, but it is an aggressive goal. And the question I asked myself was, if Jim can make $10 million in 4 years, how much can I make in one? And then I wrote that number out. And I'm having a blast pursuing that goal thanks to Jim Carrey and his visualization techniques and his example. And I hit, and I know exactly how much business I have to do every month. It grows every month throughout 2024. And I hit it in January, and I hit it in February, and now I'm working on it in March. And I reward myself with something fun to do at the end of each month if I hit that goal. So I am living the Jim Carrey dream of visualizing what you want to have happen and then doing everything you can to make it come to you. And I'm having a blast doing that. So check out on YouTube his visit on the Oprah Winfrey Show in 1997, and you'll see what I mean. You're also welcome to go to, on YouTube, go to our channel, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, and you'll see a bunch of videos up there, many of them from customers around the country that we've helped who will tell you what they thought of us. And if they were crappy, we wouldn't post them, folks, but I'm telling you, they're good, and they're really good, and so that's why we put them up there. But anyway, it's really fun. I always love to do this show and just talk about what's going on in my world. I'll sum it up with four words that Warren Buffett used to say when he would go around and teach college students around the country, and they would ask him, what advice do you have for my career, whatever. He summed it up in four words. He says, do what you love. And I can't top that, so we're going to end with that. We'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show, Thursdays at 3. Thanks always to Don Newsom, his brother Doug, who do a great job, and we're proud to be on their network. And tell your friends and come join us next Thursday at 3 o'clock. And we'll teach you more about how to get the junk out of your living rooms and also out of your life. I'm Alan Cook, your host. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on PBS Radio TV.